Welcome to the Right Take Podcast, news, ideas, and conversations at the intersection of politics and culture, a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I will be your host, Mark Tapson.
Greetings and welcome back to the Right Take Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Tapson. If you are a regular listener or reader of mine, you know how vital I believe the issue of education is, how critical I believe it is to homeschool and in every other way to undo the immeasurable damage that's been done to this country by progressives through education over the last half century or more. Americans in recent years, especially since the pandemic, have had their eyes opened about how universities have been captured by DEI programs, critical race theory, progressive bias and introduction, and so forth. But there's another aspect of the left's insidious campaign to control the classroom, to control the culture, to instill collectivist values in our children, of which I think far too many parents are unaware and have been unaware since it began in the late 1990s, and that is SEL, or social emotional learning. It is just as subversive, maybe more so, as critical race theory, and it takes hold well before the university level, all the way down into kindergarten. My guest today has written a broadside from Encounter Books on SEL called The New Face of Woke Education, which I highly recommend. It's part of a series of broadsides from Encounter, and by broadsides I mean they're booklets of just a few dozen pages each. In this case, 60 pages, with big print, so they're quick but essential reads on crucial topics like China, technology, economics, the media, and so forth. This new broadside addresses a frankly terrifying element of the left's takeover of education, which you must know about, and I'm happy to say I have the author with me today to explain it and talk about solutions and tactics to push back. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss this conversation, and don't forget to subscribe to The Right Take if you don't already, so that you don't miss any of the compelling conversations we are having here. Don't touch that dial. My guest today at the intersection of politics and culture is a researcher for my friend Peter Schweitzer's Government Accountability Institute, and she's also a chapter chair of the great activist organization Moms for Liberty. As I mentioned just a moment ago, she's written a new broadside for Encounter Books called The New Face of Woke Education, which we're going to dive into today. Priscilla West, welcome to the Right Take Podcast.
Thank you, Mark. Wow, what a great introduction. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. Priscilla, before we dive into this booklet on SEL, tell us about what you do for Moms for Liberty, because I'm a big fan of their work.
Well, I am currently the chapter chair for Santa Rosa County, Florida, which we are revitalizing after the former chair moved away. I am a former chair myself for Leon County, Florida. So a serial chapter chair.
Okay. Well, keep up that great work, because I think what they're doing is important. In my opening remarks, which you haven't heard, I mentioned that education is a major concern of mine as a homeschooling dad and a concerned American. And this booklet of yours is so good. It's a quick read, but it's so packed with insights and info that I knew nothing about that I've taken a highlighter to nearly every other paragraph. It addresses a threat that I think far too many Americans are and have been clueless about, and that is SEL, or social emotional learning. You call it the underlying architecture of the school to progressivism pipeline. Tell us about SEL and its aims.
That's right. Well, when I began looking into education for Peter Schweitzer's Government Accountability Institute, I started out looking for cronyism and corruption, because that's what our institute is really well known for. But what I kept bumping into was that everything in education has been taken over by psychology. So there's this big movement called social emotional learning, which you'll hear me say SEL, that has taken over and hollowed out education. And it is backed by hordes of psychologists and, strangely, new age spiritualist types. So it's not the focus on reading, writing, and arithmetic that we all expect. It's definitely been those have taken a back seat to feelings, identity, and activism.
You know, let's back up to the beginning of this whole movement. I remember hearing about this extraordinarily popular book back in the mid-90s called Emotional Intelligence. It was a big bestseller, as I recall. But I did not know about its sweeping impact on education. Tell us about the author of that book and how that book launched, basically, the SEL movement.
Right. I remember that book being on the end caps of every major bookstore. I think I might have even had that book. I hope not, but it seems like something I might have been interested in at the time. Everyone was talking about it, and it doesn't hurt that the author was the science reporter for the New York Times. So Dan Goleman, he had been a Harvard graduate student with a traveling fellowship. He got paid to go to the Far East and study ancient systems of psychology and Eastern meditation. So yeah, he had this really this strong interest in metaphysical things and the occult. So it's really interesting. He brought that home with him, and he wrote a string of books, a lot of books. But that one, the Emotional Intelligence book, really hit it big for him in about 1994, 1995. And what's interesting is that he was subsidized by what's called the Fetzer Institute. Had you heard of the Fetzer Institute before?
I had not.
Yeah, that is a New Age spiritualist organization started by John Fetzer, who, he was a media magnate, and he owned professional sports team. I'm forgetting which one at the moment. Detroit something, maybe. Not a sports gal, but he was very interested in all sorts of New Age and occultism. So he kind of dabbled in lots of that. But his institute, the Fetzer Institute, launched an organization through Dan Goleman called CASEL. And this book kind of introduced all of this to the world, this Emotional Intelligence book. So had you heard of the more familiar CASEL?
Yes, but I couldn't have told you anything about it, really.
It stands for the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning. That's a mouthful, right?
Yeah.
So that's the long name that they gave it, I think intentionally boring, so that people wouldn't pay too much attention to it. But Dan Goleman, this Harvard grad student, fellowship receiver, got together with several officials from this Fetzer Institute, and they launched CASEL with Rockefeller money. Eileen Rockefeller was a founding member. And CASEL, essentially, for the last 30-plus years, has been building SEL into every aspect of your child's school day.
We know that the left realized early on that if you want to effect complete control over the culture and the future, you target the children, and especially their education. Why was and why is the left so eager to shift the focus of education from cognitive learning to emotional competence?
Right. It's as I say, it's got some roots and it's got some occult roots. Ultimately, it's all to do with this one world agenda, which is now coming from the UN in every sector. But SEL is specifically the tool to inculcate this worldview through education. You know, we see parallels. We've got the ESG for the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
We've got SEL doing it in education. We've got the social determinants of health from the WHO. So it's you see the same sort of tactics materializing over every sector.
And what about the impact of left-wing billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates on SEL? Why were they so eager to pour money into this?
Well, I suppose each of them may have their own reasons, but they are certainly gleaning massive amounts of data from our children. Our children sit on their computers at school, interfacing with any number of software platforms that are continually assessing them on their emotional, what they call emotional skills, checking their psychometrics and comparing them against benchmarks that are set by these organizations like CASEL. CASEL's the standard bearer. But yeah, they're getting lots of data into their data centers, and they are also probably creating a compliant workforce through the ideology that's being installed there.
A compliant workforce, but also, aren't they trying to basically churn out social justice activists in the long run? Because SEL is presented as values neutral, but it's really about activism, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. The UN ultimately believes that the SDGs, their Sustainable Development Goals, are going to bring about world peace. So, you know, there are a lot of people like these billionaires that are in it for monetary reasons, financial gain, but you also have very, very strong, fervent believers in all of these things that are going to make everything perfect. I think Alex Newman called it quackery by utopians. And the SEL umbrella kind of encompasses a lot of different techniques and things that people will talk about relating to SEL, but they're all quackery by utopians trying to make a perfect world.
Yes, well, that's really part of the problem with the left. I bring this up all the time, is their utopian worldview.
Right.
And, you know, if you want a utopian world, if you envision this perfect society, in order to make that come about, you very quickly have to resort to coercion.
You do, and you have to believe that man is inherently good. I think that's at the foundation of all of this. Is it sounds wonderful. We would all like to be that person that says, oh, man is inherently good.
Yeah.
But if you believe that, then you believe that there is some human capable of managing and governing the entire world, if you're, you know, the UN.
Yes.
So the Christian worldview tells us that we are flawed. We will always be flawed. And the only source of truth, goodness, and beauty is our Creator. So that's, you've got two antithetical worldviews, and SEL is coming from the other one.
Yes. As I always say, utopian dreams always, always, always end in dystopian nightmares.
Right.
How widespread is SEL? In other words, how many children approximately have been or currently are caught up in this net?
Well, you've got to remember that CASEL has been at this for 30 years, over 30 years, and they have always stated plainly that their goal was to achieve systemic SEL. They have succeeded. Right now, it's woven into every subject in school, so it's in the academics as well. It's in the social studies and the math, and all of this being produced by major global corporations who are WEF members, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they are fully committed to this through their alignment with the UN. But it's in 83% of schools. This is according to RAND Corporation. RAND says it's in 83% of U.S. schools, reaching 90% of U.S. students.
Wow.
And all 50 states have some form or manner of SEL standards. I believe all 50 states have SEL embedded in the pre-K standards, and then it's differing numbers for as you get higher in the grades, but they all have some degree of it.
Wow, and it's not always called SEL, is it? They use different kinds of obfuscating labels and terminology, but it's SEL is sort of the umbrella term, right?
That's right. You'll hear references to 21st century skills. Some places, I'm in Florida, we call it resiliency education here. The biggest one, I think, I haven't actually run the numbers on how they rank, but Portrait of a Graduate is huge. Many states have a Portrait of a Graduate framework that they, you know, they make it so that, oh, we can customize our Portrait of a Graduate. And some schools or districts have their own. But it's basically this SEL ecosystem that is a public-private partnership governance that's installing this behavioral cultural, all this stuff into kids.
Yeah.
With it's kind of a network of nonprofits and philanthropies and vendors, but it's not going through legislators per se. Mm. I mean, ultimately they have to approve it, and they've got the enforcement ability, but the money and the ideology is flowing through a lot of times the private entities involved with this. So it's really massive. If your school doesn't have a portrait of a graduate, be surprised. And they're calling it something else.
Huh. And it's not really optional, is it? I mean, what about parents and children who resist or aren't on board with this agenda and this program? I think you mentioned in the booklet that dissenters are essentially dismissed as illiterates. How does that work?
Right. Well, when I say they're dismissed as illiterates, I'm referring specifically to this word smithery that the left does so well. So if you don't have SEL in your school, or you don't have portrait of a graduate in your school, you might have something called media literacy or global literacy or cultural literacy.
Yeah.
So they turn it, they take the word literacy, which we all assume to mean reading, the ability to read and interpret, understand what we read, and they apply it to all of these other areas where, you know, 10 years ago, we would not, maybe 20 years ago, we wouldn't have applied this word in this way.
Hmm.
So yeah, you could be climate illiterate, you know.
And it's really not about literacy, it's about emotion.
Correct. And there are so many new spending proposals around literacy right now that we really, really need to devote some attention to exactly what type of literacy, now that we have multiple flavors, what type of literacy are we going to be spending these billions of dollars on?
And speaking of billions of dollars, how lucrative is this industry? I know that may be a tough figure to come up with, but how many dollars are we talking about?
I really don't know how to answer that, but it really would depend how far back you want to take it. Yeah. Because what I found when I started looking into SEL was, and I only really picked up the story in the 90s, but it was built into Common Core. So all of the Common Core data systems that were built through Race to the Top grants and what was the other? And the ARRA spending, the American Recovery, Obama's big bill, ARRA.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it stands for, but all of those big spending packages went towards, some of that money went towards building SEL into everything.
Hmm.
So it's really a little difficult to parse it out. I mean, I think Bill Gates himself spent $11 billion on Common Core, something massive like that. So it's really hard to get your head around these numbers.
Yeah, I remember that Common Core was a big deal there for a while, and it was very controversial. Why don't we hear the term Common Core anymore?
You know, because it finally got stomped out. And, you know, parents fought it, parental rights groups, and they got the picture that, you know, nobody liked Common Core, but it didn't go away at all. They renamed it College and Career Readiness. And the same benchmarks, the same psychometrics and, quote, emotional skills are built in to these standards in the same way that allow now these ed tech platforms to continually monitor these psychometrics on our children. I like to point to the original Common Core math standard that talked about students should not only be able to solve the problem, but they should persevere in solving the problem.
Yes.
So that little word perseverance kind of opened up the door to this psychometric surveillance. And then the Race to the Top grants built these statewide longitudinal data servers that track and store this data on every student.
Hmm.
So, Yeah, it's really embedded in such a way that even though we don't say Common Core anymore, we still talk about, we still have these data servers. All 50 states have them, and they're interconnected and interoperable. Oh, and on top of that, back around the same time with Common Core in 2010, 2011, the Department of Education partnered with the Department of Labor to connect those databases also end-to-end with the educational databases. So now we essentially have a cradle-to-grave data dossier on every student in the U.S. That is, among other things, it is collecting academic data and behavioral data, attendance data, but it's got these social and emotional, quote, skills or competencies being tracked right alongside.
Wow. So this is about a whole level of surveillance and control that nobody ever even thinks about.
It really is. Common Core standardized the data. The testing became nationalized. Then we had the Obama administration gutted FERPA. I don't know if you're familiar with FERPA. It's the
only from your booklet.
Okay. Well, it was the act that used to protect families. It said that parents had to give consent for schools or school systems to share their children's data with third parties. But in 2011, interestingly, the Department of Education made a rule change or something where they allowed schools to share data with third parties if they were like educational partners or authorized representatives, something to this effect. And there were lawsuits. I think the ACLU complained. It's something the Educational Research Institute filed a suit, but they lost on standing. But essentially now, schools can share your data with all of these software platforms. So all of that sort of prepped, you know, the data standardization and the FERPA being gutted, prepped everything for SEL to be digitized and then move into the cloud, which really started happening at scale, you know, right after FERPA was destroyed. So then you had the workforce data added. And now the big movement is for something called skills-based learning or mastery-based learning. Have you heard of this?
Yes.
Yes. So competency-based is another thing they call it. But they're all the same thing. And they basically tokenize learning such that it's machine-readable data that's going up into the cloud. And so rather than having, you know, in the traditional like Carnegie system, you would get a full body of knowledge around a topic and you earn your 3 credit hours or whatever it is that represent, you know, a knowledge base. But what it is now, it's tokenized, it's fragmented into these little blips of data showing what you know and what you don't know. Or in the case of SEL, you know, that might be fine for math or reading or something. But when you're talking about social and emotional traits, you've got these little competencies being flagged and tracked in your lifelong data file about your psychometrics. So it's really quite dystopian, and it's already being done. But so competency-based and skill-based learning is the next thing that we really need to take on, because it is it's where the rubber meets the road for this whole system.
Interesting. We talk a lot about China and their social credit system and how that can become just an unbelievably totalitarian method of control. Is this SEL movement, is this essentially sort of steering children into a social credit system of that sort?
Yes, and it absolutely, in my view, that's what it is. SEL is the component that is sort of preloading the system for every child as they come out of school. They've got at least 12 years worth of data, psychometric data stored in their file. And as they go into the workforce, the same thing. It's all interconnected now. And we see the same thing for corporations. Like I said, with the ESG scores, you've got movements like Tim Shriver, who is one of the founders of CASEL, one of the big proponents of SEL. He started this thing called the Dignity Index. Have you heard of that?
No, but
their
terminology just it would be laughable if it weren't so insidious.
Right?
They're absolute geniuses at
they really are
manipulating the language.
They are. So the Dignity Index is it's a kind of a speech scoring system, and they're really really pushing this hard now. So the Biden administration was pushing it. There was a dignity.us website. Laura Logan talks about this in her Substack and how it now routes directly to Tim Shriver's organization, the Dignity Index, where they're scoring your speech, and it's supposedly to be build bridges and reduce the polarized nature of society.
Yeah.
It can look at your social media or any public speak right now, but the algorithms that they're developing, who knows where they'll be applied. One of the coders for that system is a known activist with the Armed Queers of Salt Lake City, who apparently had foreknowledge of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So it's all very...
Wow.
Again, I encourage everyone to go look at Lisa Logan's Substack on that. Really fascinating.
Lisa Logan or Laura Logan?
Sorry, Lisa Logan.
You had mentioned the word perseverance a few minutes ago. And before that, you mentioned the word resilience. Those words come up a lot when progressives talk about education. Why is the concept of resilience, especially, so central to SEL? I mean, it sounds great. Who doesn't want their kids to be resilient or to persevere? But what does the left really mean when they push this idea of resilience?
Well, the UN is huge, and the WF are there. They have an entire, that's the next phase, the next big movement globally is going to be the resilience movement. But, and I said in Florida, they've essentially renamed SEL programs and they call them resiliency education now. But this is kind of my personal interpretation, just reading as much as I've read about all of this. Is that it is making children resilient against their parents' values.
Yes.
Yes. That's kind of the way I read it now. It's more resistant than resilient. That would have been the true word to use.
Yeah. Very interesting. Another thing I wanted to ask about is something I hadn't heard about before. Tell us about this news service called Newzella and how it fits into SEL indoctrination.
Newzella plays into the media literacy ethos, I guess.
Yes.
It's very popular. It's all around the U.S. I believe my kids' school has Newzella as well. They teach children to only read reputable news sources.
So, yes.
All of us in the alternative media might not get high marks from Newzella.
Right. Yeah, because who determines what's reputable?
Right.
So they're basically steering children towards an acceptance of mainstream media and the mainstream narratives.
Correct. Again, going back to that, you know, illiteracy, if you're...
Right.
Yeah. Just kind of a subtle condescension
if you
read something that's not on the approved list.
Now, you mentioned before that SEL indoctrination isn't limited just to the classroom. You write that it's been woven into every nook and cranny of kids' lives. What are some other aspects, like outside education, in which kids are being indoctrinated with this stuff?
Well, it's absolutely everywhere. It's in a lot of the extracurriculars that you know, you say outside of education, they are offered through the schools, but some of the ones that I find the most fascinating are, there's a lot of drumming SEL programs that use drumming. And this is non-scientific, but in my mind, I used to go to yoga classes and do drumming back in the day in my 20s. I thought, oh, that was really cool.
Yeah.
And I am familiar with the kind of trance-like state that you can get into.
Yeah, absolutely.
This. So, yeah, there's a lot of drumming ones, drumming SEL programs. There are also SEL programs that involve shelter dogs.
The
Yale Child Center, I believe it is, has one that it's called... Mutts, something about Mutts, I forget the name. But again, they are manipulating a child's natural empathy and the natural, you know, of course you want to care for shelter dogs, right? Who doesn't? And they weave SEL into these programs. It's also infected scouting, the YMCA. It's just a boys club, girls club, just about anything you can think of. A lot of summer camps weave in social and emotional learning. And, you know, it might come down to, you might get lucky. And a lot of teachers think SEL sounds great, and maybe they don't know. Maybe they're not as trained in some of the really manipulative techniques. Hopefully that's the case. You know, they spend a lot of time training teachers, but I'm hoping maybe not the summer camp counselors and stuff as much. Yeah. But it's really whack-a-mole too, because the minute you whack down one program or curriculum or extracurricular, another one pops up in its place, and it really is woven into everything and by design.
Interesting. It's funny that you mentioned the drumming, because I actually used to be a percussionist. And I can vouch for the fact that there is a trance-inducing element to that. I literally had an out-of-body experience once while I was in the middle of a drumming. And I suppose this ties into what you talked about earlier about the whole occult influence that's behind this. Not that drumming necessarily has anything to do with the occult, because it doesn't, but just the whole trance inducement, and that had not occurred to me before. But why do you think people of an occult bent are so embedded in this or behind this movement? There's something that strikes me as almost demonic about that.
You are right. No, and I'm probably going to get this a little bit wrong, because I was just reading about it over the weekend, but it's so perfectly what you're saying here. This is from Lisa Logan. She talks about before Castle was launched by Fetzer in the 90s, there were a series of talks called the Contemplative Mind and Society, or something to this effect. They were talking, it was a lot of Buddhists and New Age spiritualist people and scientists that were working with the Dalai Lama to, let me see if I could get this right. They were at first looking at SEL in terms of more overtly as spiritualism, but then someone whose name I'm not going to recall convinced them to go with more of a neuroscience bent, mapping emotions to brain structures and things like this. But they talked a lot about getting into the alpha state, which when I read about it, it sounded like hypnosis to me. I'm going to have to study up on this for our next chat, Mark, but it was really, really interesting how they talk about the in circle time with the kids, you know, sharing and the types of vulnerabilities that they induce, and again, getting these kids to trauma bond through circle time, and which is incorporated into SEL classroom activities. It's really wild. There's a lot going on that parents, I think, have no idea.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time distinguishing this whole SEL movement from a cult.
Well, in these same talks that Lisa talks about, she writes that I believe it was the Dalai Lama or some other, you know, high up religious spiritual leaders explicitly said that we need to take the religious terminology out. We need to remove the Sanskrit words and replace it with neutral, scientific sounding language that it will be palatable to Westerners. And that is exactly what Castle did.
Wow.
Yeah.
So insidious.
It really is.
You know, one thing I appreciate about this booklet of yours is your recommendations for action. You have a section called Reclaiming Education Through Parent Pushback and Policy Reform. Can you give us a couple of examples of things that people can do, you know, the average quote-unquote citizen can do to push back against SEL, besides just taking your kids out of school and homeschooling them like I did?
Right. I mean, if only we could all homeschool like you do. God bless you for doing that.
Well, I know that a lot of people, I mean, I'm in a situation, I'm fortunate enough to to be able to do that. And I know that the vast majority of people are not. So I do feel really blessed about it. And I feel guilty for encouraging people to homeschool, because I know that it's just not feasible for a lot of people. But if it is in any degree feasible, I beg people to do it.
Right. Well, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I know that it starts with parents and teachers being able to recognize what's happening. Right now, as I said, I don't think a lot of teachers who are maybe implementing this even recognize the metaphysical origins of all of it and the data privacy aspects. So recognition, pattern recognition, once you start getting into this SEL stuff, you see it everywhere.
Yeah.
But so I wrote the little book to clarify the debate, to try to equip parents and teachers with this pattern recognition and start to recognize the words, they use, which are quite deceptive. But it's compact, it's easy to read. As you said, you can read it in one sitting. But the biggest thing we could all do is, I think we have to start recognizing that UNESCO and the UN mm-hmm. are not good.
Yes.
I heard over the weekend that the 52% of U.S. citizens think, you know, still have positive associations with these, with these organizations. But these organizations are all about tearing down Western civilization.
Absolutely. So
that's really at the root of all of it, getting it out.
As I understand it, there's a part two to this booklet that's coming?
Yes, we're working on a part two, and it really delves more into the ed tech aspects and where it's all going, as you said, the social credit system, and what are the components of that. We've got the SEL, we've got the competency-based learning, and the portrait of a graduate. All of these are pieces to the puzzle, but when you put the whole thing together end to end, you know, how's it all going to function?
Well, I definitely look forward to that and have you back on as soon as that second booklet is out. Let me ask you, do you have a social media presence where people can keep up with you?
Oh, I do. I'm on Twitter at PriscillaWest77, and I'm on Facebook. There's actually a Facebook page with the same name as the little book. It's called The New Face of Woke Education.
Oh, good to know about.
Yeah.
Well, Priscilla West, thanks for writing this broadside for Encounter. Thanks so much for coming to The Right Take.
Thank you so much for having me. It was very nice. It was great talking with you.
Yeah, likewise. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Get this booklet called The New Face of Woke Education. You can get it from Encounter or from Amazon. You really must learn about SEL and help take action to dismantle it. And don't forget to subscribe to The Right Take if you haven't already. And if you like what you hear, please leave that positive review. Be seeing you.